Why should you be like a what?
Stranger.
A stranger in the land and like a traveler who turns aside to tarry for a night. Why should God be a stranger in it with, among his own people? That people didn't know who he was, couldn't communicate with him, couldn't speak to him. You know, in a world we live in, what makes us compatible with people is that we can communicate with people. Yeah. You know, like for an example, computers. Have you ever worked with a computer that couldn't read the language of another computer? Somebody sends you a program or you send you something and nothing you can do with it because your computer wouldn't read that language and there was no way to communicate back with them on that. We see in our world, citizens must communicate with one another. In our modern times, computers must communicate with one another. Creatures out there communicate with one another. That's why Keith has been able to see some turkeys fall, because they've been communicating with them, though it's false communication. He's playing like the devil and wooing those birds in, and they think that's a legitimate female decoy out there. They don't know it's a decoy. You've done talked to them, sweet talked them, and brought them in. If they would have known, if that gobbler would have known that that bird was fake out there and you were fake making those noises that sounded like another female, he would have never came in. But because you effectively what? Communicated with him, you drew him in. We see, to be a stranger with God, you got to be able to communicate with him. With him who doesn't communicate to a strange world unless you're part of his family. You got to be able to know his language, amen. You got to be able to talk with him. But they telling them here that they couldn't connect with God. They couldn't come in because they didn't know who he was, right?
Yeah.
They didn't know who he was. So David is reminding God himself, I've been with you, I've walked with you, I'm a stranger with you, and I need you to help me if I'm going to make it in this world I live in, because I'm out here on my own unless you're with me, because I don't fit in this world anymore and I need you. Okay, we're up to how many Psalms are we up to? 50. Now, we don't have to be in the Psalms. We can go anywhere. Love when somebody says, look, something really spoke to me here. We are not bound by our daily reading when we gather together, are we, Brother Shannon? Not at all. We'll run anywhere at any time. That's right. That's what we ask for, the Lord to help us with that and guide us. And if we can't get to the bottom of a thing, which we rarely ever get to the bottom, but we try to get to Jesus in it and then let him help us with what is there before us. If we can't do that, we'll find a way to do it at some point and look up some things for sure, because we, none of us, even collectively, can have all the answers together, right? But he does, so we'll trust him with it. Anywhere else or anywhere in the Psalms, you might have got ahead. Chapter 49, Brother Shannon said he's seen something in Psalms 49. What are you talking about, Brother Shannon? What's that?
Verses 7 and 8.
None of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him, for the redemption of their souls is precious or costly, and it shall cease forever. That he should continue to live eternally and not see the pit. Redemption is so that you don't see the pit, or pay a price so that you can live forever is the idea. And nobody can do that for you. There's only one who's paid the price for redemption. And it was costly, wasn't it?
Amen.
Cost him his blood. What'd you see in that, Brother Shannon?
It was just that in our world now that we can talk to others about salvation and we can talk to others about the good news, but we can't force salvation on them. That has to be selected between them and Jesus.
Every soul, that's why it says that you must be what? Born again, right? Yeah. You must be born again.
And that there's no, you can't buy it for ransom.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key, I think, here.
Yes, yes. The whole psalm, if you look at it from the beginning, he says, "Hear this, all peoples. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world. Both low and high, rich and poor together." So he is speaking, what, to everybody. He's not excluding anyone. I think I jotted down a little note earlier. Everyone in every class, in every walk of life. That's what he's referring to there. And we're dealing with who? The sons of Korah. The sons of Korah were a group of Levites. We're talking about a group of individuals who come from the tribe of Levi. And they were given that responsibility by God himself. They were in the priesthood, is the idea, being of the tribe of Levi. Who else was in the tribe of Levi? Some Older Testament, high-profile names. This Moses was a Levite. And his brother, Aaron, was a Levite. And God chose through Aaron to establish that priesthood. And we see some other people of the tribe of Levi. For an example, the sons of Korah's great-grandfather was one of those Levites, and he rebelled against Moses.
Yeah.
And come against him and Aaron, and it didn't fare out well for him, did it?
Oh.
That's one of them Old Testament pictures. When you read about it, it's stunning. It'll shock you. It ought to grip us, is what it ought to do. There were several men that come against Moses, and they wanted a showdown. They thought Moses and Aaron had taken upon too much responsibility. And in their mind, that they were no different than anybody else. And that's true. Moses and Aaron were no way better than anyone else, but they were set apart by God. And therefore, that's why they did what they were called to do. And so was Korah. He was set apart. He had a responsibility, but his responsibility in his eyes wasn't as precious as Moses' responsibility, and he could do anything Moses could do. He could do it as well. Matter of fact, he could do it better in his way of thinking. He could do it better, but it wasn't a matter who could do it better. It was a matter who God chose to do what they were supposed to do.
Amen.
Well, he come up against that, so they wanted to have a determination on who God would choose. So they did that. And God obviously picked Moses and Aaron. And they were told, everybody get away from them, these three men, Abiram and Korah. And when they got away from them, the scripture says the earth opened up its mouth and swallowed them up. They went down in the hole and the earth closed back up over them. And about 250 people died with them.
Yeah.
But the sons of Korah escaped. The whole houses, the whole family didn't die. So down the road, these guys recognized that, hey, they're going to write a psalm you're going to read about shortly in Psalm 84. And they're going to say, we would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord just for one day in his house, better than 1,000 elsewhere.
Yeah.
And what it's doing is playing back on Grandpa, who said that he would rather do something else than what he was assigned to do. And then they write about it down the road and said, Grandpa may have messed up, but we're just grateful we can do whatever God set us apart to do. Even if it is, we just be a doorkeeper in doing God's work. So the sons of Korah take this and they say, everyone in every class, everyone around the world, rich and poor. Verse 3, my mouth shall speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall give understanding. Two things, wisdom and understanding. We need both of them. The scripture says they're both precious.
Amen.
Wisdom is knowing how to put knowledge to work, knowing what to do with it, knowing how to take the next step. Simply, you know a thing, but just because you know something don't mean you know how to put it to action. And wisdom is the skill, the ability to step out in what you know and take the next step in it. And that takes a work of God in your life.
Amen.
Because we can know things, but if God doesn't impart wisdom to us, we don't know how to put that, what we know, to work in It's about stepping out and putting what we know to work. And the meditation of my heart shall give understanding. Understanding is that ability to correlate things together. Why a thing works the way that it works. I need knowledge. I need wisdom. How to put that knowledge to work. But I also need understanding because it allows me to see God in a thing. It allows me to see why I'm doing what I'm doing. It allows me to see how this works with this. And it kind of pieces things together. It helps you correlate it. It gives you, as the word says, what? Understanding about a thing. Then I can understand why this looks the way it looks, or understand why it works the way it works. And I can understand why God does what He does in our lives when we do what we do, whether that be positive or negative. We understand that because of understanding. But then there's two other things God gives us, and that is discernment, which is essential. Discernment is knowing how to recognize God in a thing and when He ain't in a thing.
Amen.
And then discretion. Discretion is knowing how to say a thing and when to say it, or when to do something and when not to do something. I need discretion in what I do, because sometimes if I'm not careful, I can say the wrong thing at the wrong time, the wrong way. And man, that just what sets you up for a problem, not only with people, but it'll set you up a problem with God, because I'm misrepresenting Him. And we see Jesus, who operated in wisdom. We see Him operating in understanding. We see Him operating in discretion and with discernment. Because He knew when His Father was in something and when He wasn't in it. And He didn't do anything unless His Father led Him to do it. And you remember, He is what we were intended to be. But because man was fallen, nobody could live that away. But He did. And because He did, we can receive the life that He lived. And then He says, I will incline my ear to a proverb. Takes us back to that proverb chapter 2, where Solomon says to his son, which is a picture of God saying to us, if you will incline your ear to me, if you will lift up your voice for discernment, if you will cry out and ask for it, if you will seek it with all your heart, God says, I will teach you the fear of the Lord, and I'll give you the wisdom of God. I'll give you sound wisdom, but it's only when we are seeking it like we would silver and gold and precious treasures. So the psalmist is grabbing that wisdom, because that's what he said. My mouth's going to speak wisdom and my heart's going to reveal understanding. How did I learn that? I took what God said to do. What did He say? Seek me with all your heart and I'll give it to you. And that's what he's done here. And I will disclose my dark saying on a harp. That's where Proverbs 1 starts out. It is that we can understand dark sayings, that we can understand those things that God gives them to us. What is he going to say? Verse 5, why should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity at my heels surround me? What does that sound like? When the iniquity at my heels surround me. Say that again. Enemy? Okay, yeah, enemy. When my enemy surrounds me.
Like David was being surrounded by his enemies.
Think about how many of you ever been hog hunting before? If you ever been hog hunting, you ever been hog hunting with dogs, what do dogs do when you hog hunt? You got bay dogs and you got catch dogs, right? And them old dogs get in there and they'll bay that hog up. Then you release that catch dog on him and he's in there and he hits that hog, catches him by the ear and brings him down, and you can get him. But what them dogs do, they pick up a scent. And when they pick up that scent, they go to tracking, and when they find that hog, they start getting on him and they baying at him, they surrounding him. And that's the idea. The enemy is like the hounds of hell, who are on us and who are just what? Barking and making all kind of racket. And the psalmist saying, I'm going to reveal wisdom and understanding. I'm going to give you something to hold on to. You don't have to fear when the enemy is making his noise. When the enemy is on your heels, that means he's tracking you down. He's looking for you. He's trying. He's waiting for you to step in a trap. He's waiting for you to catch. He's sniffing you out. Verse 6, those who trust in their wealth and boast in the multitude of their riches, none of them by any means can redeem his brother. So he's saying, when the enemy's doing what he's doing, take this to heart. Your money can't buy them off, and your money can't do anything for you before God, right? Amen. You can't put your confidence in that. Is the wisdom that is important to us. Wisdom is going to tell us to put our trust in the Lord. Because remember, what's the very beginning of wisdom? What's the first thing in wisdom? I'm going to use a phrase that should be familiar to you. What's the ABCs of wisdom? What have we talked about before? The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. That's the ABCs of wisdom. And why do I use that term, the ABCs? Because in our educational system, for an example, we learned what the ABCs is the foundation to everything we do in reading and literature or any of that. You got to know your ABCs. If you don't know your ABCs, you're not going to be able to put letters together. You're not going to be able to sound out your phonics. You're not going to be able to read or write if you can't do that. So what do we do, for an example, with arithmetic? Your 1, 2, 3s. You got to know your numbers, and then you know how to put your numbers together. It's the basic foundation of our educational system, right?
Yeah.
Well, the fear of the Lord is the basic foundation, the ABCs and 1, 2, 3s in God's kingdom. And what wisdom is going to teach us first, and what knowledge is going to teach us first, is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. Proverbs says that in Proverbs 1:7 and Proverbs 9:10. For the beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. For the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. So it's going to teach us the fear of the Lord. What is the fear of the Lord in a simple term? That is, we believe when you fear God, you believe God's going to do what he says he's going to do. You take God at his word. God is trustworthy. That's the first thing wisdom is going to teach you. Above anything else, hey, God is trustworthy. You can put your confidence in him. And when you do that, you've heard me use this before, that I give place to him. He takes precedent and priority in my life. Why? Because I know he's trustworthy. Because wisdom is teaching me to what? Trust him. Wisdom is teaching me not to put trust in myself, not to put trust in what I can earn or what I can gain or what I have, Miss Pat. None of that matters in the world we live in, when the enemies are on our heels and we're standing before a holy God, and this world, because of sin, there's got to be a payment, and nothing can make that payment of ransom on our behalf except something God has done for us. Man can't pay that payment. It's too costly, right? It's too costly. So wisdom is going to teach me to believe God's word, take him at his word, to give place and priority to him. Because for an example, I use that idea of giving place to him. It's just like when somebody fears something in life, they normally yield to it. They give place to it. If you're afraid of the dark, people don't go out in the dark, do they? If you're afraid of snakes, you don't fool with snakes, do you? If you're afraid of water, you don't get in the water. Jimmy, you afraid of snakes? Oh, you are? I don't like a snake either. Oh, man, it'll mess you up, huh? It'll mess you up. Just like spiders. Some people are dreadfully afraid of spiders. Or, Miss Fat, what are you afraid of?
Don't ask me.
Don't ask Brother Shannon. He'll tell us. And he said, I don't want to do it. Amen? He said he don't have enough money to ransom himself, right? Yeah. Carolyn, you afraid of anything?
Yes.
What's that? You'd be 57, huh? Yeah.
I'm going to give
Keith, what are you afraid of, brother?
Here lately, I don't know. I guess with my age, I'm starting to fear water for some reason.
That you know the danger of water.
Yeah.
As much as for you or even with those you care about around you, like getting out on the water a little bit. Water's dangerous. If you could breathe in it, it wouldn't be near as dangerous, right? But you can't breathe in it. So yes, man, I'm a little hesitant when we're on the water as well, when you got those little ones, those grandkids and kids out there, and they just as reckless as, they don't think twice about it. You're thinking, man, that just, you just know how quick and how fast it can happen in a situation like that, and you can't breathe in it. We're not made for the water. That's not our place. And so it is. It is something to give place to. You have to respect it. And the same way with a rattlesnake. You've got to respect that rattlesnake because he is dangerous. Brown recluse spider. You have to respect that. They are dangerous. Our bodies are not made to have their venom, their poison, within us, right? So we respect that. Heights. Anybody afraid of heights? It's a long way down when you fall, right? So sometimes people's equilibrium gets off and they can't, it's a struggle for them. And everybody's a little different. Some people, man, you watch them get up on these towers and put these cell towers up. Some of them get all them windmills, go up in there and work on them things. Things are way up there. Wind howling through. And they can go up there with not even think twice about it. Not even think twice about it. Some people just wouldn't be able to do that for whatever reason. But whatever you are respecting because of whatever reason, you give place to it. You consider it before you do it. That if you can't swim, you really ponder before you get in that water. Or if you good with snakes, some people are, they can handle snakes. I ain't handling no snake. I don't mess with snakes. I will, if I could see the snake and stay away from the snake, I'm a whole lot better. If there was a snake and I can't see the snake, now it's a big difference to me. I like to be able to see what I'm giving place to. And well, that's the thing with the Lord. You give place to him because you know he's true to his word.
Amen.
He does what he says.
Yes.
He does what he says. You take him serious. And therefore you give precedent to him. And that's the idea. Wisdom is always teaching us that. It's always just like grace is always teaching us to say no to us and to say yes to him. So the same thing. It takes grace in this wisdom for that to happen. So where Brother Shannon kicked us off with, that's where he says in verse number 7, none of them can by any means, no means whatsoever, redeem his brother. You can't, I can't, nobody else can. The only one that could redeem his brother is Jesus.
Amen.
Is Jesus. And you know the Bible refers to him as our brother?
Yeah.
Let's look at that real quick. Go to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Yeah, Hebrews chapter 2. Going to be a little cooler in the morning, right? Is that the plan? Y'all know it thundered in February on the 11th. So we're getting a little cool snap come through. May not frost on us, but I guarantee it's going to frost somewhere up north, above us a little bit. But it did. I tracked it. We've got another date coming up toward the end of the month.
Down.
The 9th?
The
29th. The 29th. That's right. My mama, she called me because we were talking about it one day. She said it thundered real for about 30 solid minutes on the 29th. The day before, she said, last night, for about 30 minutes, it was constant thunder. And I said, well, I'm going to put it in my phone because it thundered over here, too. And she said, I put it in my phone to check it as well. So that more than likely, we're going to have another little cool snap at the end of April come through. It may not frost on us, but every time I've ever traced it out, tracked it, put a date in it, a cool snap always hit on the exact same time that it thundered. Them old folks knew something, didn't they? They kept up with that. But Hebrews chapter 2. He says, let's just start in verse number, I'm going to start in verse number 9. Because this takes us back to our Psalms reading as well. Out of Psalm 8. Adam fell, and therefore we fell with him. Therefore Jesus came to restore and be what Adam couldn't be or wouldn't be, nor us. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Praise God. Amen. And then we're getting into that ransom, right? Someone had to die for the suffering of death, crowned with uniqueness that we talked about glory Sunday, about what's the glory of a thing? That's its uniqueness. That's its one of a kind type thing, his excellence and honor that he, notice, by the what? Grace of God might taste death for everyone. So see, Jesus lived according to the grace of God. Jesus died according to the grace of God. So grace is just not something that we receive. He lived and by grace tasted death and lived for us so that we could receive grace, that we could receive the grace of God. Verse 10, this is chapter 2 of the book of Hebrews. For it was fitting for Jesus, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, to bring many sons to glory. Remember, there are no grandchildren in the kingdom of God. Amen. You have to be what? Born again. You got to be made a son. Prior to being made a son, remember Ephesians and Colossians says we were sons of disobedience. So you got to go from being a son of disobedience, that is living life your way, to being a son of glory, which is through the grace of God. So the son to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Who's the captain of our salvation?
Jesus.
Verse 11, for both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one. So Jesus and us are all of one. He's the one, Jesus is the one that sanctifies. So we're all of one. Who are we of? We're of the Father. To which reason he is not ashamed to call them what?
Brethren.
Seeing we're a son of glory, and because he is the only begotten son, now we come into the family of God through him who sanctifies us, who tasted death on our behalf, that we may be sons of God. Now we are called brethren with him. He's our brother. He's a brother of ours. Saying, verse 12, I will declare your name to who? My brethren, in the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. If Jesus ain't your brother, you ain't a son of glory. Amen. He's got to be your brother. Your brother. Again, verse 13, I will put my trust in him. And again, here I am and the children whom God has given me. Why did God give them the Jesus? Because they couldn't ransom themselves. Why did God give them the Jesus? Because nobody else could ransom them. You can't ransom your brother. Right. A brother can't be ransomed by his natural brother or even his friend. He's got to be ransomed by his heavenly brother and his heavenly friend, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
He says in verse number 14, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that is, flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. And all God's people said, you see why you don't have to fear the hounds of hell?
Amen. Come on.
Nipping at your feet like old Catahoula curs or bulldogs on a hog. You don't have to fear. Why? He destroyed him who had power over death. He destroyed him who had the power over that iniquity. And that's why you don't have to fear that. The only thing that you really need to fear is not fearing God himself. Amen. And you need to be afraid of that, Brother Shannon.
That's right.
We need to be afraid of that. Just like you don't have to worry If there's anything to worry about, it's not seeking first the kingdom of God. That's what we are to be concerned about. So, man, all these things fit right together, don't they?
Amen.
They fit together. They really do. So, man, we need him to ransom our lives. Amen? And what does that do? That makes us different. That makes us strangers in the world. If God's a stranger in the world, and we're now part of his family, and Jesus was strange to the world that he came to. Remember, he came, and the ones he came to rejected him. Remember the chief cornerstone? What did they do? They rejected it, didn't want to build their lives around it. Why? Because it was a strange thing to them. Psalm said that this past week. Where did it say that? David said, I'm a stranger. I'm a stranger like you. He said it in the Psalms. He said it in the Psalms. Look over, if you would. Go to chapter number, let's see if we can find it. Maybe 39, maybe 39. Yeah, 39. Look in 39:12. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Do not be silent at my tears, for I am a what?
Stranger.
I'm a stranger. But I'm a stranger with who? With you. With you. A sojourner. As all my fathers were. Remove your gaze from me that I may regain strength before I go away and I am no more. David was obviously going through things and he needed some help. And he was reminding the Lord in particular that he was a stranger in this world and he needed God's favor and countenance upon his life because he didn't fit in this world.
That's right.
He didn't fit in this world. Very similar how Luke 9, when Jesus was talking with some folks, came to him and said, I want to come with you. And he looked at the guy and he said, hey, foxes have their holes and birds have their nests, but the Son of Man doesn't have a place, what? To lay his head. What he was telling us, birds fit in this natural world, foxes fit in, but the Son of Man doesn't fit in. So if you want to come follow me, you're not going to fit in this world either anymore. You're going to be a stranger in it, like I'm a stranger in it. And that's what he's pointing out to him over in the book of Jeremiah. Go to Jeremiah 14 before we go tonight. Jeremiah 14. Jeremiah, I may have one more after that, and we'll call it an evening. Some of those things we talked about Sunday, out of that Psalm 19, how the skies speak, the scriptures speak, the Son of God speaks, and the servants of God speak. So when I see life that away, that, hey, the heavens are speaking to us. The Word of God I can learn from and ask God to teach me the truth of the truth from it, and that God speaks to us today through His Son, and that as a servant I want to speak for Him in tune with. You live that away, that'll make you a stranger in this old world we live in. Make it like Keith sharing his shark's teeth. You tell people about that, they don't have an answer for it. That's what he shares it for, so that he can give them an answer for it, but it catches them, don't it? Like, man, this is strange to my ears. So Jeremiah 14 and around verse number 8, I think it is. I think it's verse number 8. I'll read verse number 7 to try to make it make sense to us. O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do it for your name's sake, for our backslidings are what?
Many,
we have sinned against you. Oh, the hope of Israel, his Savior in time of trouble, why should you be like a what?
Stranger.
A stranger in the land and like a traveler who turns aside to tarry for a night. Why should God be a stranger among his own people? That people didn't know who he was, couldn't communicate with him, couldn't speak to him. You know, in a world we live in, what makes us compatible with people is that we can communicate with people. Yeah. You know, like for an example, computers. Have you ever worked with a computer that couldn't read the language of another computer? Somebody sends you a program or you send you something and nothing you can do with it because your computer wouldn't read that language and there was no way to communicate back with them on that. We see in our world, citizens must communicate with one another. In our modern times, computers must communicate with one another. Creatures out there communicate with one another. That's why Keith has been able to see some turkeys fall, because they've been communicating with them, though it's false communication. He's playing like the devil and wooing those birds in, and they think that's a legitimate female decoy out there. They don't know it's a decoy. You've done talked to them, sweet talked them, and brought them in. If that gobbler would have known that that bird was fake out there and you were fake making those noises that sounded like another female, he would have never came in. But because you effectively what? Communicated with him, you drew him in. We see, to be a stranger with God, you got to be able to communicate with him. With him who doesn't communicate to a strange world unless you're part of his family. You got to be able to know his language, amen. You got to be able to talk with him. But they telling them here that they couldn't connect with God. They couldn't come in because they didn't know who he was, right?
Yeah.
They didn't know who he was. So David is reminding God himself, I've been with you, I've walked with you, I'm a stranger with you, and I need you to help me if I'm going to make it in this world I live in, because I'm out here on my own unless you're with me, because I don't fit in this world anymore. And I
one more
and we'll go. Psalm 119, I think verse 19. Man, look, I was showing somebody, a man gave me some books over in Alabama last year. Very gracious, gave me a ton of them, and one of them was this one right here, and this is a commentary strictly on Psalm 119. So this whole book, hadn't read it, I don't know if it's worth anything. I'd imagine it is, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, I'm not endorsing it, I'm just saying I got it. But it's 481 pages of teaching just on Psalm 119. But 119 has how many verses in it? A bunch. It's deep, it's rich, it's great, it's good. And you know, the whole psalm is about the Word of God.
Yeah.
The living Word of God. The truth of the truth, amen?
The way.
The way. And it just uses different terms. But 119:19, notice what he says. I am a what?
Stranger.
Psalm 119:19. I am a stranger in the earth. What's some of the other translations read? What'd yours say, Keith?
I'm a stranger in the earth.
What's King James say?
Stranger in the earth.
What's yours say, Kylie?
What?
19. Psalm 119:19. I'm the only foreigner in the land. Obviously, foreigner strangers taking on the same idea. Yeah, so 119:19. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments. What?
From me.
My soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times. Why? I don't fit in with the world I live among. I need to hear from you.
Yeah.
I need to hear from you. Man, that's a great place to live, isn't it?
Amen.
That's a great place.
And the commandments are that gives us power.
Matter of fact, as Jesus would say, that he had authority. And when Brother Shannon used the word power, it's from that idea. That's what gives us authority to do what we do. That without a command from God, you don't have authority to do a thing for God.
That's right.
Meaning you got to have a word from God to operate in. That's what we function in by faith to begin with. But Jesus said, I have authority to lay my life down and authority to raise it up again because I've received a commandment from my Father. God gave him the mission, the assignment. He spoke it over him. No different than when God said, let there be light, and there was light. When God says, let there be light in a soul, guess what happens? That soul is illuminated with light. God's got to command it, though. Everything has to start with him.
Yes.
And when it starts with him, then we have that authority, and that authority then gives us power to walk in that. And that's what David is saying there. I need your authority to do what I do because I can't do it effectively because I'm a foreigner in this world. I'm a stranger in this world. And I need, no different than an ambassador in a foreign country. When we send an ambassador to whatever country is sent to, what authority do they have to do what they do? That is delegated from where? Here.
Yeah.
And then that authority is recognized by the country that they're in. And then they work as delegates and ambassadors between countries as a representative for our nation, just as in a public present way in another land, in a foreign land. We say we're ambassadors who do the same thing. As God's representatives here, we are his hands and feet upon this earth. Therefore, we need to hear from him. An ambassador can't speak on his own authority. So he can't tell another ambassador, another representative of the country that he's in, what he would do if it was him in authority. He could only represent those who've sent him over there to represent them. You follow? With what I'm saying, that's the same principle that we have here. A stranger, an ambassador, a foreigner in the land that we live in. So, man, that helps me.
Amen.
That really does help me. Anybody have anything you want to add to it or take away from it or build upon it or any question? I might have got ahead of you. And you might want to know where a passage that we just looked at or whatever. I might not be able to recall it, but we might capture it on audio and on video. We can go back and listen to it again. Because a lot of times somebody will ask, what'd you say? I don't know. What did I say? Yeah, let's go back and listen to it again, huh? And go from there. So, but yeah, anything before we go?
Today. 57.
Come on up here, Carolyn. Come on up here. Brother Shannon's going to sing happy birthday to you. We'll help him, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Carolyn. Happy birthday to you.
We love you.
I put a dollar.
You going to do what now?
A dollar.
Oh, you going to put a dollar? Okay. You bring your dollar Sunday. That sounds good?
Yeah.
We'll let you. We'll sing to you again, okay?
Yeah.
All right. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for Carolyn. We thank you for giving her life. We pray that you would just surround her and help her and that we look to you. We thank for these truths. We got the peek into tonight and explore. We just ask now that you plant them within us and that we can go forth as your seed bearers and plant the truth in others. So we're asking you for your help to do what we couldn't do. And Lord, we do need wisdom and understanding and your discernment and discretion tonight. We need you. We need you. And we are ever grateful for your grace and your blood that ransomed our lives. And we're going to praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.